And I'm looking forward to preaching to you today from 2 Chronicles 7 and Acts chapter 2. And in our series, we've come to a message today entitled Fan the Flames. We've been studying the person, the work, and the nature of the Holy Spirit. And, of course, one of those great symbols of the Spirit in our Scripture is fire. But I heard a story about a hellacious fire that ignited on a West Texas oil field. And fire engines from surrounding counties were called in to battle the blaze. But because of the intense heat, not a single one of those fire engines was able to get close enough to douse the flames. And so practically every fire engine from West Texas sat there idly watching this fire burn, wondering what to do. Well, suddenly, an old fire engine from a tiny fire company appeared off the horizon way in the distance. It was the only truck from an obscure little town, and they had been driving all night to respond to the call for help. To the amazement of all the firefighters who stood by, this truck went whoosh and just sped right by all the other fire engines, came to a screeching halt there right in front of the base of that fire. The men poured out of that truck and began to douse themselves with water, and then they proceeded to extinguish the fire, and it was put out in just a matter of minutes. Well, these men were miracle workers, and they were being praised as heroes. And so the next day at the awards ceremony, the governor of Texas presented that little fire chief and his men of that brave engine with a check of appreciation for $20,000 and asked them, what do you think your fire company will do with this money? And then the old fire chief replied, he said, well, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to get the brakes on that old truck fixed. When the Holy Spirit is burning hot and heavy, we don't want to pump the brakes. We want to let Him have His will and His way. We can enjoy the warmth of a campfire as we roast a marshmallow in its glow. We think about a tiny fire sparked at the turn of a key, which ignites our car and moves us down the highway. Or a blacksmith, how they rely on fire to heat iron to the point to where it becomes malleable and they can shape that metal on the anvil. Fire is a force of nature that releases great power and potential. And so it's no wonder that one of the favorite symbols of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is fire. In his book on the Holy Spirit, Max Lucado wrote these words. He said, perhaps the greatest characteristic of fire is this, energy. It has empowered countless coal-burning engines and fueled too many stoves to count. Fire combusts. It moves things and spreads. And the Spirit does the same, just as Jesus promised in Acts 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Fire doesn't have to try to be hot or hungry for more. It just is. And just so, when the Holy Spirit fire is ignited in you, the God who lit the stars will burn within and give you the power to be more like Jesus. In today's message, I want to preach to you on this subject, fan the flames. And I want to point out three attributes of the person of the Holy Spirit as He's pictured in our Bible through fire. The first one is this. Number one, the fire of the Spirit invites God's presence. The fire of the Spirit invites God's presence. If you go back in the Old Testament, God is often portrayed in His presence to His people through the power of fire. For instance, God called Moses to deliver Israel from bondage by speaking to him from the burning bush. That's Exodus chapter 3. Then God led Israel through the wilderness wanderings by a pillar of fire by night. You can read about that in Exodus 13. Then you'll remember that God defeated the false prophets of Baal when Elijah called down fire from heaven in 1 Kings 18. But perhaps the most memorable scene of God's holy fire came when Solomon dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 7. Listen to what the Bible says there, starting in verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, and His mercy endures forever." God's glory was so thick in the house that day, my friend, that you could cut it with a knife. And it's interesting that we see the same pattern repeated when we come to our New Testament on the day of Pentecost, the church's birthday. The Spirit of God arrived in the same way through the sign of holy fire. Look at what Acts 2 says. And the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then verse 3, there appeared to them divided tongues as of what, church? Fire. And one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the church was started with a spark that flamed from Pentecost until the present and has moved through cultures and down through time and all over our world. Now, notice this. The pattern is the same, but notice the critical difference between Solomon and the temple of God and the church on the day of Pentecost. Notice this. In the Old Testament, God's glory filled a building. But in the New Testament, God's Spirit filled the church. That's you and me. In the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. But in the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. In the Old Testament, to experience the presence of God, you went to a specific place. You went to the temple to worship. But in the New Testament, the presence of God comes to us. We are the church. We are the building. We are the bride. We are the body of Christ. And so the person of the Holy Spirit lives and resides and holds abode in our life. My, what a thing to think about. What a miracle. Friend, it's no small thing to be a child of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you think about the Holy Spirit pictured as fire, it's an image of God's ever-abiding presence in our lives. And friend, where there's fire, there's warmth, there's light, there's fellowship, there's hope. And I am, you are that earthen vessel which contains the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Your life is that tabernacle that shines forth the glory of God to a lost and dying world. Everywhere I go, I take the presence of God with me at school, at work, at the store. The presence of the Holy Spirit in me is what gives me courage to trust God in a dark and a dangerous and a tumultuous time, because He lives in me. He calls my heart His home. Friend, I think too many times in the church, we've substituted the presence of the Holy Spirit with entertainment. We celebrate preachers and people and celebrities more than we do a move of the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, rather than exalt a building or exalt a program or lift up a person, we need to understand who we are, whose we are, and who lives in us. That's the third person of the Trinity. The presence of God is here today in you and in me. Friend, it doesn't matter how big my budget is. It doesn't matter how many butts I put in seats. It doesn't matter if my name is in lights and people hold me up as some sort of celebrity preacher. If I don't have the touch of God on my ministry, apart from me, you can do nothing. I want the blessing of God. I want the presence of God. I want it when the people come into this place that they know they're going to have an encounter with the third person of the Trinity, that He's going to move, that He's going to touch, that He's going going to speak, that he's going to set free. Because when God is in the house, miracles happen. When God is in the house, somebody gets set free. When God is in the house, the sparks fly into a blazing flame for his glory. Oh, would that the world would see the flickering light of God in our lives. Because if the world could see the presence of God in us, you know what that would do? That would get their attention, and it would bring hope to a dark and dying generation. There's so many in our world today that's searching for answers, searching for meaning, searching for love, searching for someone or something to fill that void. And friend, you've got the answer. I've got the feeling. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And when I take the presence of God into a dark and dangerous world, I preach this to them, that hey, there's hope. He saved me. He changed me. He rearranged my life. I'm a walking testimony and trophy to the glory of God. And friend, if he can fill me and save me and ignite me, he can do it for you. Love that story that Corrie Ten Boom tells in her book about the time that she was trying to smuggle a suitcase of Bibles into then communist Russia. Corrie Ten Boom, what a precious lady who lived through the Holocaust and through a concentration camp. She said that as she stood in the customs line, that all the Russian agents who were lined up there were methodically opening every suitcase, and they would dump out the contents and they would search for contraband. Now, you'd have to be a special kind of courageous to go into Russia with Bibles at this time. You got to understand, it was illegal. It was persecution. It was a Soviet gulag to be a Christian in those days. Well, a wave of fear swept over her as she sat or waited in that line. She knew, oh, I've got this suitcase of Bibles, and when the agent opens up my case, he's going to see these Bibles, and I'm going back to prison again. Well, as she waited for her turn, she offered up a foxhole prayer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You don't have much time. You don't have much time to put eloquent words together. You just say, Jesus, help. Lord, help. Holy Spirit, are you there? Well, she prayed one of these kind of prayers. She said, Lord, your Spirit will never leave me nor forsake me. Please watch over your word. Your word is precious. And God, make a way for me. Well, she said that as she moved to the front of that customs line, she slid her suitcase across that metal table, and she was ready for the worst. She said the Russian agent looked at her, looked at his watch, and he said, well, would you look at that? My shift has just ended. Ma'am, may I help you carry your suitcase out to your vehicle? He didn't even open the suitcase. He didn't even look at the contents. And God used an enemy to carry the Word of God into a closed country. Why? Because she was taking the presence of God into a dark and depraved world. And God says, if you go, I'll provide. If you go, I'll shine through you. If you go, I'll make a way. I'll do miracles. I'll make sure that people see the Spirit of God dwelling within you. She said these words, even though we are rapidly approaching the time when the Antichrist will try and take over the world, I am not afraid. We have an even greater promise of the constant presence of Christ in us, who is greater than anything Satan can throw at us. Number one, the fire of the Spirit is tied to his presence. The fire of the Spirit invites God's presence. Then very quickly, we need to move on. Number two, the fire of the Spirit inspires God's purity. Did your mama ever help you get a splinter out? If your mama was like mine, she took a needle out, and she'd look at it. Now, sit still here, she'd say. Stop squirming around. And, you know, you're crying, and the tears are, oh, mama, it hurts so bad. I'm going to give you something worse. Now, hold still here. If your mama was like mine, she'd go get a candle, and she'd light that candle, and then she'd take one of her sewing needles and hold it over that. What are you doing, mama? You're going to make it hot. I'm cleaning the germs off. And then she'd take my hand or my foot, and she'd poke that needle down in there and dig out that nasty old splinter. And just so, friend, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, that's what he does. He burns away sin. He reaches down deep into our wounded souls. He takes out those soul wounds, those splinters, those trash and things that we've picked up through the pain and the tribulation of this world, and says, let me heal you now. This may hurt, but I'm going to break you so I can fix you. Let me get down deep under the skin and dig that out. How many of you have been there before? Praise God. You know exactly what I'm talking about. John the Baptist, he linked the coming of Christ with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he said in John 3 and verse 11. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and what? Fire. Now, notice this. John's baptism was outward and physical, but when Jesus came, his baptism would be inward and spiritual. And the superior work of Jesus would be seen in the Spirit's power to cleanse us and burn away those old sinful desires and patterns of our fallen flesh. And friend, if you stoke the fire of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God and with prayer and with worship, it will grow and grow and grow until you burn hot for Jesus Christ. Let me just clue you in on something. I know this isn't very profound, but fire doesn't fall on an empty altar, friend. Every altar must have a sacrifice. Every candle must have a wick. And if you desire the fire of God in your life, you must surrender yourself to be fuel for that fire so that God may consume it. Hey, friend, I'd rather burn out than rust out. There's an interesting picture of this from our Old Testament. When you go to the book of Daniel chapter 3, remember the story of the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You remember that these three courageous young men, they're thrown into Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. And friend, they wouldn't burn either. The Bible says they refused to worship the golden image. And friend, don't we have some images that our world is trying to get us to bow down to today? The woke culture and the idol of politics and the idol of pleasure and sex and approval and the idol of my identity, my choice. I get to decide that I'm God and define myself. We got some idols in the world that we're being forced to bow down to. But as a child of God, we dig in our heels. We stand stiff with our spine filled with the Holy Spirit and say, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. The Bible mentions a fascinating detail when these three were thrown into the fire. And the Bible says they were bound with ropes. But when old Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire, he saw not three, he saw a fourth man with them in the fire. And yet they were unsinged and their ropes had turned to ash. Just so you don't think I'm making it up, Daniel 3, look what it says. Verse 23, of these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And look, he answered, I see four men loose. Oh, praise God. I see four men loose. Help me, Holy Spirit. Walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Notice, when they went in the fire, the only thing that was burnt off were the ropes that were binding them. The thing that the king had put around them to constrict their movement and to hopefully ensure their death. Friend, here's the point. In order for the Holy Spirit to work in your life and in my heart, He has to do a purifying work deep within. He oftentimes has to turn up the heat in our lives. Hey, I don't want to go through the fire. I don't look forward to adversity. I don't pray for hard times, but I know hard times are coming. I know that I need the fire to purify my heart. I know that I can't be a saint of God like God wants me to unless He notches up the temperature beyond what I'm comfortable with. But friend, I can guarantee you that if you get thrown in the fire and you submit and you surrender to the working of God in your life, He's going to burn off the dross. He's going to take away the things that have been holding you up and binding you up. Idols will be burned away and melt. Our attitudes and our sinful desires, our inadequate understanding of who God is, our hard heart, all these things that bind us up and hold us back from walking around in freedom and liberty and power and conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He burns off those restraints. He burns off those idols. He burns off those sins. Why? So that you can march around in tribulation, being victorious in the Spirit of God. So you can say, yes, I know the news says I should hang my head. I know that's bad. I know the country's going downhill. I watch all that, but I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory inside my soul. God set me free from some things, and I'm not burdened like I used to be. He burnt them things off of me so that I can walk and have victory in my Lord, because He that is within me is greater than he who's in the world. And friend, when you come out that fire, you're going to be better than when you went in. You see, because God takes tribulation and He uses it for transformation in our lives. I recently read about bristlecone pine trees. Have you heard about these? They grow primarily in the high elevation mountains near eastern California and Utah and Nevada. Scientists are just now beginning to understand how these trees can live to be thousands of years old. In fact, this one right here is called the Methuselah tree. They say it's 4,600 years old. In fact, it predates the pyramids. Listen to this. What makes these trees unique is the way they reproduce. The only time the bristlecone pine sheds its seeds is when it is either struck by lightning or it is surrounded by the intense heat of a forest fire. Essential to the pine cone's life cycle is wildfire, which clears away the excess growth on the forest floor and encourages the tree to release its seeds into the favorable soil. And likewise, friend, listen to me, the only way that we grow is by allowing the Holy Spirit to scorch away the underbrush of sin so that we can have that new life take root in us. And so, if you're being burned today, know that God has His hand on the dial and His eye on the timer. And He will see you through, because the Holy Spirit wants to do a mighty work in your life. Well, I've got to hasten on. Number three, the fire of the Spirit ignites God's passion. God's presence, God's purity, God's passion. That's the third picture of fire. Do you remember when Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin to give an account for their preaching and their healings? The Bible says that when Peter delivered his defense before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, they just healed. And the Bible says in Acts 4:8 that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when Peter was done with his arguments, the religious experts were flabbergasted. Notice what the Bible says, Acts 4, verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized they had been with Jesus. I love that. The Bible says that when Peter and John were released from their custody, they went back to the church, they shared the news of what God had done, and a prayer service broke out. Prayer time is usually the time when most people run away. We're trying to grow prayer ministry here. Some of you hadn't caught on to the vision yet. I'm praying that God will put you in a pinch where you'll have to learn how to pray and rely on prayer. But in Acts 4:31, listen to what the Bible says. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Another word for that would be passion. Oh, friend, I love it when people let their guard down and fully surrender to the Holy Spirit. Because when somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit, when they have truly surrendered their heart and life over to Him, you can see their confidence surges. Their courage begins to rise up within them. And the Spirit begins to stir inside people with a holy passion that they want to live for the things of God. All of a sudden, you'll take somebody who is cold, who is dead, somebody who is compromising and riding on the fence, but if they surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, if they say, Lord, I want to be a man of God, I want to be a woman of prayer, oh, that's a prayer that God will hear, that God will understand, that God will answer. All of a sudden, they'll get an appetite and a hunger for the Word of God. It's like kindling to their soul. I love it in church when the service gets hot, when the preaching is heavy. I love it when the Holy Spirit takes over and He grabs you by the throat and won't let you go because it's hot and it's powerful and it's passionate. I love it when it gets out the banks. I love it when people get filled and they cry and they shout and they rejoice and they celebrate. We've got everything in the world to celebrate for, my friends. My goodness, what God has set you free from, what God has done. We ought to be a cheering harder than they are down in Charlotte at the Carolina Panthers football stadium, because I'm saved, I'm blood bought, I'm redeemed, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm preaching to a full church. I just baptized 7 people today. God's done a work at 875 Monta Vista Road. And somebody says, why do you preach the way that you do? Why are you the way that you are? Because I'm excited about what God's doing in my little neck of the woods. I don't want to back up. I don't want to shut up. I want to stand up and stand on the Word of God. And I want to sing it. I want to preach it. I want to praise it till the ages roll, telling people how good my God has been, how powerful my God is, what He can do for you. Oh, friend, I'm talking about the passion of the Holy Spirit of God. If you look at your life today and you say, I don't have that passion, preacher. Well, friend, you can. It's real easy. You devote yourself to the things of God. I'm not talking about just church attendance. That's the training wheels. That's where it starts. I'm talking about seeking the face of God, learning how to pray, studying the Bible on your own. You begin to do those things and you'll see your heart change and your mind change and eventually your whole life will change. Friend, this is what gets me excited. It's what gets me up out of bed. I want people to be convinced that there's nothing more exciting than being filled by the Spirit of God, watching lives be transformed, see a revival being sparked. I think we're in revival 2023 and seeing it spread out into the community. I'm talking about bus kids that ride the bus. They're getting saved. I'm talking about older folks who've walked with the Lord saying, I need to get right. I need to obey. I'm talking about God's work spreading out beyond the four walls of this church. Friend, that's when passion ignites. There's an old story about a respected church that sat off Main Street in a small town, and one night this church caught fire. The pastor stood helplessly on the sidewalk, and he watched as the firefighters fought the blaze. Pastor didn't know it, but a man had walked up behind him. He was watching the church burn. He said, Pastor shook his head. He said, what a shame. He turned and he recognized the man that was standing beside him. He said, what are you doing here? I've invited you to church 100 times and now you show up? Why are you here? The man never took his eyes off the blaze, but he said to the pastor, he said, Pastor, this is the first time in all those years that the church is finally on fire. The church of today, listen to me, is flaccid and weak because we have treated the Spirit of God like Casper the Friendly Ghost. And I'm not about to sell you something that's not real, but I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And when you understand who the Spirit of God truly is in our Bible, He's a raging wildfire that wants to consume hearts and families and churches and schools and communities. He wants to transform this nation. And friend, if we get ignited and filled with the Spirit of God, you know what people are going to do? They're going to stand back and say, there must be something going on at 875 Monte Vista Road, because when I drive by leaving church, you're still there, and the parking lot's full. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacons. It's not our programs. It's the Spirit of God moving mightily among our people. There's only one thing that can stop it. You and me. You see, we can have about as much of God as we want. And woe be it from you or me to be the one to take that old bucket of cold water and quench the Holy Spirit. You see, God wants to do much more than even what we've witnessed in the past 2 years. God wants to do more, abundant, beyond. He wants to change the world just like He did in Acts 2. The question is, do we want Him to? You know the reason why revival doesn't happen? Because we don't want it to happen. God is willing and able. He wants to burn hot and heavy in your life. But you have to let Him kindle that flame and do what only He can do. We're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe somebody needs to respond to this message. Our musicians are coming. Preston's coming. If you need to respond today, our altar will be open. Don't worry about it. I know we're going to go over. Just let the Holy Spirit do what He needs to do right now. You'll get to the restaurant. You'll get to where you need to be. Right? God wants to work right now. As Preston's coming and as we're about to sing right here, will you stand to your feet? Will you let God move? Can you truly say, I'm on fire for Jesus? Or does God want to do more for you? What are you holding back from Him? Invite His presence. Let Him purify you. Let Him ignite a passion in you that you've not had in a long time, or maybe ever. And He will. Be obedient to what God wants to do right now. Our altar is open for any need, salvation, rededication, obedience, prayer request, whatever the need, the altar is open. As Preston sings, you obey what God would have you to do right now.